good morning, and you're listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble today, and we're going to be talking about just stuff in general. And when I say stuff, I mean I have no idea what we're going to be talking about. I've written notes to myself, so I do have some direction. My doggie told me that I should talk about Groundhog Day, so we're going to do that. She always gives me good hints in the middle of the night when she has to go out. And, we're going to talk in Swap Shop. I'm going to read to you some of the most memorable Valentine poems, and I hope you'll enjoy those. Some of them are cute, some of them are sweet. I have four of them, so it's not going to take the whole 45 minutes, but we'll talk about that. So I got to tell you, usually on the last Thursday or the fourth Thursday, whichever it was, I have to figure that out every month. I have to figure out when James Anderson is going to be on with me. But James is quarantined right now. So, James, if you're listening, I hope you get better real soon. I hope nothing's wrong with you. Sometimes you just get quarantined because you've been around somebody that's not doing well. So, anyway, James, sorry you can't make it today. We have a good time. We'll make it next month. And James always has some wild stuff on for us. Everything from Coyote Scat to Chrysalis. Those butterfly babies, whatever they're, I'm probably mispronouncing it. Chrysalis, I think, something like that. And other stuff. I hope that you're doing well, James. It's kind of fun to talk to him because I walk on the tall grass trail, which he kind of manhandles for people. He's taken me twice on with groups on tours of the tall grass trail. Great fun. If you like nature, it's just wonderful because he tells you that's where I learned about coyote scat. You know what scat is, right? Okay. And he showed us, and we identified beaver chewings on trees. I always thought the beavers chewed little tiny trees. Wrong. There was, I would guess, maybe 6 or 8 inch across stump laying there, and apparently a beaver chewed that down. Must have taken them a long time. Maybe beavers have a lot more patience than I do. So today we're not going to talk about beavers, though. We're going to talk about woodchucks. What's the other name for woodchucks? Groundhogs. Now, I'm not sure that's correct, but the groundhog is what we're going to talk about today. Do you know why Groundhog Day is on the 2nd? Every year, it's on the 2nd of February. No, that's wrong. The real reason is that the 2nd happens to be midway between the first day of winter and the first day of spring. It's right in the middle. So 6 weeks until the coming of spring. And therefore, we have the Buckeye Chuck, in our case here in Marion, comes out and tells us, let's see, what exactly is it? I'm trying to find, I wrote it down somewhere, what the, because I always mess that up. Well, when I'm reading through this stuff, we'll get to it. I always mess up what, if he sees his shadow, is it going to be winter for all 6 weeks, or if he doesn't see, but I've got that, and we'll get to it. You know, we have a really close connection to Buckeye Chuck, even though Buckeye Chuck is going to be on, what is it called, virtually on the other on another radio station here in town, and that's where he originated. But he originated because of a gentleman that used to be our I used to engineer his show here on this station, Charlie Evers. And Charlie invented a lot of things here in Marion. Charlie is the genesis of lots of stuff, the Peanut Push and Buckeye Chuck and just lots of stuff. If I start to say them, I'll miss some and somebody will get mad at me. So I'm just going to stop there. But this happens to be, by the way, the 41st year of Buckeye Chuck. Nowhere near the number of years that Punxsutawney Phil has been doing it. Punxsutawney Phil. Let's see, I have that somewhere here. Oh, yeah. He began in 1887. There's all sorts of stuff. I'll read it all to you. But you know, guess how many... Oh, I'm going through this too fast. I won't have enough stuff to last the full 2 hours. But there are 41 imposters. That's what the book that I read about Groundhog Day said. They're not all imposters, but Buckeye Chuck is definitely not an imposter. He has a better record, I understand, than Punxsutawney Phil, which, by the way, is only his prognostication record is somewhere between, depending on which book you look at or which notification you get, it's somewhere between 36% and 39%. If our weatherman had that percentage, I think we'd get rid of that weatherman. We know that our weatherman is always much better than that. Anyway, so I'm thinking that up until, I don't know, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, that was the last time I saw a rating of Buckeye Chuck. I think he was pretty close to 70 or 75% at that point. I think he has been wrong many of the last 10 years, you know, like 6 out of the last 10 years or 7 out of the last 10 years. But up to that point, he was cranking in at about 75% correct. So Buckeye is a lot better than Punxsutawney. Now, Punxsutawney has a lot more traditions around him, he's got all sorts of stuff around about him that kind of get him more coverage. He has a good PR guy, let's put it that way. Hang on 1 second as I see that I have a problem with my board. It'll only take me a second. I'm back. Can you hear me? Yeah, you can hear me. Okay, good. For some reason or other, I had a light flashing. I don't like lights flashing on my board because occasionally I bump into something and I turn something off, which is what I did not yesterday, but last week, and we were off the air for about 10 minutes because I dropped some pencils on the board and must have hit a little button which turned us off. Anyway, did you know, kind of exciting, I saw one of his daughters pointed this out, one of Charlie's daughters pointed this out on Facebook, that Buckeye Chuck made Who Wants to Be a Millionaire this year, back in January, I guess it was, last January, a year ago, something like that. Anyway, he made it on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire as one of the answers of one of the questions, and I don't know if the person got it right or not, but Buckeye Chuck is only one of 41 prognosticating groundhogs. A lot of them are up in Canada. Scott asked me, why are there lots in Canada? Well, the reason why there are lots in Canada is because they have nothing else to do in the middle of the winter. It's cold up there. Got to stay inside and see what's going on. Now, both Scott and I aren't quite sure how they're going to do Buckeye Chuck this year. It's going to be virtual. It's being broadcast by the radio station that has Buckeye outside their door. Virtual, I guess it's going to be on Facebook. Just doesn't seem right on a radio station. But Anyway, that's what they're going to do, and I'm glad. I guess they won't have people, crowds out in front like they have in the past. I always have said to my wife, I'm going to get up at 6:30, and I'm going to go see Buckeye Chuck this year. Every year I say that. Every year I sleep till 8. So I've never seen it, and I really wish I had, especially the year that supposedly Buckeye Chuck passed away and nobody knew it. That's kind of gross. Charlie told me that story, and I guess they kind of said he was scared to death by the crowd. Well, we won't go any further on that. I felt bad for that. They claim that Punxsutawney Phil, every 7 years, drinks some sort of juice. I've got the notes here, and I'll read that to you later, but that gives him another 7 years of life. My guess is about every 7 years, groundhogs go to their reward in the ground in heaven or whatever. Charlie, by the way, was the guy that named him Chuck. Well, he didn't name Buckeye Chuck. What he did is he ran a contest on the radio station, and the name came Buckeye Chuck. Well, we all know why Buckeye, right? OSU. And Chuck was apparently the person who wanted to name him, wanted to give credit to Charlie by calling him Chuck. And so, therefore, we had Buckeye Chuck. I'm real proud of him. I tell everybody, I have family members in Massachusetts, Florida, North Carolina, California, and Worthington, and they all know about Buckeye Chuck. I'm really proud of Buckeye Chuck. I have a very low threshold of pride. By the way, did you know he's official? Buckeye Chuck is officially the Ohio State's official weather prognosticating groundhog. That was conferred upon him back in 1979 by the state legislature. So he is formally our prognosticating groundhog. No other groundhog can do that, right? I am very proud to say that I knew Charlie, and I knew that Charlie got that done for Buckeye Chuck.
I've got my milk and
I'll
my
bowl
and my saucer.
Sounds like you're getting ready for breakfast. What are you having?
Well, I'm having a bowl of golden grams with a side of toast with golden butter and a nice golden glass of apple juice.
I should have known. WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Well, I did my duty, and I charged right through that break in honor of Charlie Everett. Charlie used to do that to me all the time. When I was engineering for Charlie, he would go right through those stops. I'd be waving at him, and they'd go right through. That's okay. We do that in honor of Charlie. Let's see, where was I? Okay, we were talking about Buckeye Chuck being honored by the state legislature in 1979 as the official prognosticating groundhog. I can't imagine any other animal prognosticating weather. There's one state, one of the 41 places that have their own groundhog, and I'll, like I said, I'll get to each one, or I'll get to about 10 of these later. But there's one state that they don't have a groundhog; they have a man dressed up like a groundhog. That's kind of weak. All right. Oh, here it is. If Buckeye Chuck pops out of his burrow and sees his shadow, and then disappears again. I don't know why he has to disappear again, but he does. That will mean that winter is going to continue for 6 more weeks. So if he comes out of his burrow, sees his shadow, that means that winter is going to continue for 6 more weeks. That means if it's a sunny day, Buckeye's saying it's winter's going to continue. And I was looking at my phone, and I don't think it's supposed to be very sunny on that day. But I think it's partly sun. So it kind of depends on when he pops out of his burrow, right? And they call it something else out in Punxsutawney, and we'll talk about that. But if he does not see his shadow, if it's an overcast day, then it will not be scared to come out of his burrow, and winter will end soon. So I don't know why Buckeye, I don't know why any groundhog is scared if he can't see, if he sees his shadow. It's his shadow, but apparently that's the reason behind it all. Now, surprisingly enough, I think most of this is made up out of whole cloth. Punxsutawney Phil. He started back in 1887, way before Buckeye Chuck was on this earth. And his roots apparently go back even further, but that's when it was kind of formalized. He has a really fancy title. I've got that here somewhere, and I'll get to that. Let's see if I, oh, here it is. Punxsutawney Phil. Wait a minute, this isn't it at all. I will have to get to you later on that one. He has a really fancy title, and we'll read that to you. Okay, let's go over some of these 41 imposters. Punxsutawney Phil calls them imposters. But we know darn well that Buckeye Chuck is the real prognosticator, because the state of Ohio has made it official, and also he's got a better record. There's one called Balzac Billy. His alternative name is Prairie Prognosticator. Now, this is the one that is really a man dressed up like a groundhog. Now, what can I say? He lives in Balzac, Alberta. A lot of these other groundhogs are from Canada, like I said. And he's a man-sized groundhog mascot is basically what he is. And they all prognosticate the weather the same way. If it's a sunny day out, there is going to be 6 more weeks of winter. And if it's a, if he sees his shadow, boy, I'm going to confuse you, aren't I? If he comes out and he sees his shadow, then it means that winter is going to continue for 6 more weeks. If he comes out and he doesn't see his shadow, then it will be, we'll have an early spring. I'm hoping for the early spring. We have not had a bad winter this year, as far as, I don't think we've had a day where the temperature got below 10. Now, recently we've had a few days where it got close. I think the lowest I saw was 14 one day. Anyway. Balzac Billy is really a, now I know there are a lot of people that probably disagree with this, but he's really a man-sized groundhog. He's a man in a mascot. So I wouldn't count on him unless maybe, he gets his ideas from the local weatherman on his local television station. I don't know. All right. Then there's this other one, Fred LaMarmotte, or Fred LaMarmo. I'm guessing it's the E is silent in this, but it may not be. Fred LaMarmo is a Canadian, another Canadian groundhog, and he's located in Val d'Espoir, which is in Pierce, Quebec, or however you pronounce any of those words. And he predicts weather for those people up there in Quebec, and has a very French name. I'm sure he wears a beret when he comes out. Is that? I don't know. It doesn't show a picture of him. We do have some pictures. Actually, most of the pictures of the groundhogs are very stunning. They're good-looking pictures. And I, they're kind of a cute little critter. But from what I'm reading, you don't want to get real close to them if you don't have to. They tend to bite. If they get scared of their shadow, they're going to bite something. So be very careful. I think most people that tend groundhogs throughout the United States, Canada, I don't think I have one here from any place other than the United States or Canada, but I think most of the people that handle those critters do wear pretty heavy gloves when they take them out. I don't think I'd want to be, they hibernate. So they're, in essence, they're waking them up out of a nice sound sleep sometimes. And I think I'd bite you too. Hey, you're listening to On the Air. I'm Glenn Coble. If you want to call in and give your opinions about these critters, feel free to call 740-383-9944. Let me give you that number again. 740-383-9944. We can talk about it. Maybe you have a better idea of why we do this. But apparently, it was a reason. I guess they had nothing better to do back in 1887 in Punxsutawney. By the way, that's in Pennsylvania, for those of you who didn't know that. I don't know if you've ever been to that. I have not been to that celebration. I have never been to any groundhog celebration, including Buckeye Chuck's, as I mentioned earlier. Here's another one. This one's from Georgia. General Beauregard Lee is the Georgian groundhog. Now, of course, his name would be Beauregard Lee. And he's the Georgian groundhog, he's their official prognosticator. I don't think that he's been honored by their state government like Buckeye Chuck has, or at least it doesn't say so on this. And he is he claims to be the official prognosticator for all of American South. Of course he would claim that. And of course he'd had the name Beauregard Lee if he's the official prognosticator for all of the American South. Now, does that include places like Arizona and New Mexico? They're south of the what would be the Mason-Dixon line extended. I don't know. Anyway, Beauregard Lee, he's not nearly as good-looking as Buckeye Chuck. Buckeye Chuck, if you looked at him closely, his eyes kind of reminded you of Charlie. sweet eyes. He was an interesting fella. Beauregard, and they call him Bo, just like my son-in-law. No, I often wondered how my son-in-law got his name. Anyway, Bo's first nationally televised appearance was in 1988, and he resides at the Yellow River Game Ranch in Gwinnett County, Georgia. He's been there for 27 years until the ranch closed in December of 2017. So he got ejected, and he was then relocated to Dasset Trails Nature Center in Jackson, Georgia. And he carried on his weather predicting traditions. By the way, I was saying that I didn't know whether he was given the state honors, but he is such a popular guy. Bo is has gotten two, not one, but two honorary degrees. He got one from Georgia and one from Georgia State. So he's kind of an important guy in Georgia and in apparently in the South. Now, I would think that you have to have different skill sets if you're a groundhog in the South, because the weather's a little different down in Georgia than it is up here in Ohio, where Buckeye is, or Pennsylvania, where Punxsutawney Phil is. So he has different skill sets, and apparently he does them very well, because Georgia and Georgia State conveyed upon him two honorary degrees from each one of those esteemed universities. Here's another one, and I'm really going to mess this name up. Shubin Akati. Okay, I'm going to go with that. Shubin Akati, Phil. Shubin Akati, Sam. And he's the famous, they claim he's famous, Canadian groundhog. And he lives in Shubin Akati Wildlife Park in the town of Shubin Akati, Nova Scotia. I have never heard of that, nor have I ever heard of Sam. So he can't possibly be nearly as good as Buckeye Chuck, right? His name is Shubin Akati, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. You should see the way it's spelled. well, it's spelled the way I'm pronouncing it, but I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it. Maybe not. I don't know. I could go to Siri and ask her how to pronounce that. I'm going to pass on that, though. Nova Scotia, that's where Sam's from. Here's another one. Staten Island Chuck. Now, I think they stole the name from Buckeye. What do you think? Staten Island Chuck. He's also referred to more formally. He has a formal name, which most of them don't have. Much like Beauregard Lee, very few other groundhogs have honorary degrees, and very few groundhogs have two names. His more formal name is Charles G. Hogg.
Scott, do you know what my favorite meal is?
No, Charlie. What is it?
A BLF.
What's a BLF?
Bacon, lettuce, and fruitcake sandwich. Good.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back here, and we were just talking about Charles G. Hogg, or in essence, Staten Island Chuck. He is from resides in the Staten Island Zoo. Now, he's one of those little boogers that likes to bite. He actually nipped the mayor of Staten Island one of the times he came out, and I don't know whether he saw it or he didn't see his shadow, but he came out and he nipped the mayor of Staten Island. I don't know if you have to get tetanus shots after that or not. I hope not, but the mayor wasn't happy. Here's another one. Wharton Wyerton, I guess that's the way you pronounce it. All these names up in the North Country out of Canada throw me, but it's spelled Wyerton. Wyerton Willie is the name given to the Canadian groundhog who happens to be albino. Now, that's kind of interesting. I wonder how they replace him if he happens to go to the groundhog den in the sky. But he's an albino groundhog, and he lives in the community of Wyerton, which is in Bruce County, Ontario. He didn't nip anybody. But there's several of them I noticed mentioned that they're kind of rough to handle. They're kind of an aggressive animal. Not very fast, but kind of aggressive. And we're going to talk to James Anderson once he gets out of quarantine and comes, does his job next, fills in next month on his show. We're going to ask him if about the, you know, groundhogs, okay? Maybe we'll learn more if he's ever had one, and I mean picked up one, and if he's ever been nipped by one, and if he's ever seen an albino groundhog. That's kind of interesting. Okay, this one, I don't think he has any relationship with the previous previous president of the United States, but his name is Stormy Marmot. Stormy Marmot. He's a yellow-bellied marmot of the Rocky Mountain region, and he lives in Aurora, Colorado. Now, I don't know. I'm assuming a marmot is the same thing as a groundhog, only he's from the West, so he gets a fancy name. What do you think? Is that right? We'll ask James about that, too. Are marmots the same thing as groundhogs? Which are they the same thing as woodchucks? I think they're different. But we'll find out. We'll ask James about that. Speaking of James, oh, and by the way, it was kind of apropos that last break we had our favorite Buckeye Chuck namer, Charlie Everts, was in that last spot. Seemed to be very apropos. But anyway, this is apropos too. Jimmy the Groundhog, we were talking about James. Jimmy the Groundhog is from Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. He's another one that bit his handler. Not the mare this time, but the handler. He gave him a big bite when he dragged him out of his bed. I would, too. Punxsutawney Phil, we don't have any indication that Punxsutawney Phil bites. But they wouldn't tell you if he did. There is so much stuff around Punxsutawney Phil. You know, he has a special name. He lives in a special place. It's got that has a special name. Everything's special about Punxsutawney, except his prognosticating abilities. He only prognosticates correctly somewhere between 36% and 39%. And now I think I mentioned the reason why Groundhog Day is on February 2nd, because it marks the pivotal day in the transition from winter to spring. So if you count back, and I did it last night, I made my dog listen to me counting back, and one thing that threw me off is that February only has 28 days, except for during leap year when it has 29. But if you count back, the 21st of December, which is important to all of us because that was the day I was married, the 21st through the 2nd of January is 11, 12, 13 days, 12 days, 13 days. And then if you subtract the 2 days in February, it works out exactly that February 2nd is the midday, right between the first day of winter and the last day of winter. We're all looking forward to the last day of winter. I don't know too many people around this area that love our winters. We don't recently don't have enough snow to go snowboarding or skiing or snowmobiling, and it does get kind of cold at times. So I'm a big fan of big snows. I like big snows. There are a lot of. I lived in on the southeast side of Lake Michigan for a lot of my life. South Bend, Indiana, and Valparaiso, Indiana, get a lot of snow because of lake effect, and so I got so I really liked big snows because you don't have to go to work, you don't have to go to school. It was kind of fun, and you can go out. I used to get my motorcycle, and I'd wrap rags around the back wheel to give me a little bit more traction, and I'd put on my old wooden skis that I had, and I'd go out and race around on that motorcycle. It was kind of fun. All right. If you have an interesting thing that you do during big snows, give us a call, 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. All right. By the way, none of the scenes. Now, I'm not a big fan of Groundhog Day, the movie. I watched it all the way through once. I was afraid to watch it the second time for fear it might start me doing it every day. If you saw it, you'd understand that. But none of the scenes from that movie that was made in 1993 starred Bill Murray and Andy McDowell. None of those scenes were filmed, by the way, in Punxsutawney. I wonder why. Maybe it's not a very handsome town. I don't know. Most of them were filmed in Woodstock, Illinois, which I've never been to. You'd think I would have, having lived outside of Chicago for as long as I did. But Woodstock might be way down in the south. I didn't get to southern Illinois very often. But it says it's close to Chicago, but quite frankly, I don't remember Woodstock, Illinois at all. But it was the home base for the director, Harold Ramis, the director of Groundhog Day, and that's apparently why they filmed it there. None of it was filmed in Punxsutawney. Sorry, Punxsutawney. Here's some of the fancy junk that goes around Punxsutawney, Phil, that unfortunately we don't have with Buckeye Chuck. We're kind of down-to-the-earth people here in Marion, and we don't make up fancy stuff for our groundhog. Our groundhog is a straight-up groundhog. Comes out of the ground, looks around for a shadow, goes back in and takes another nap. But Punxsutawney Phil delivers his annual prognostication in groundhog ease. Apparently, you can only understand him, and it's only translatable by the inner circle president. They have a president for this guy, and he's the only person that can understand Punxsutawney Phil. He tells it then, apparently, it's not good enough that the president knows, but he tells the vice president, who then chooses the proper scroll as directed by Phil. They have a scroll that... I think they're pushing it way too far. They have a scroll that then tells him, basically, if he sees his shadow, it tells him what to do, and if he doesn't see his shadow, the other scroll tells him what to do, okay? They can't just memorize it. It's a pretty easy thing, but they can't memorize it. Buckeye Chuck just comes out, looks around, is cool, and goes back in. Phil makes sure that they know which scroll to get, and then they declare in a very formal way whether there are going to be six more weeks of winter or early spring. But apparently they're not very good at it. They only get it right 36% of the time. Oh, well. In 1960, that Inner Circle president was Sam Light, and he initiated that they have to wear top hat and tuxedo uniforms for the group. I think they're playing this too much. Noting that such an important figure as Punxsutawney Phil should be greeted with a sense of reverence and formality. Again, I tell you, Buckeye Chuck is just a cool Buckeye Chuck. He doesn't need any of that stuff. Okay, let's see if I've got time. Yeah, I got time for one more thing about Punxsutawney. They have 32 6-foot fiberglass, naturally fiberglass. They didn't have that, by the way, back in 1887. But they have now have 32 6-foot fiberglass Fantastic Fills, they call them, public art project, first launched in 2004. And they adorn the sidewalks and the corners throughout Punxsutawney. Some PR guy went nuts. By the way, when he's not at Gobbler Knob, that's the name of the place where he lives, Punxsutawney Phil and three other groundhogs, including his wife Phyllis, live in a heated area in the children's portion of the Punxsutawney Memorial Library. I have friends at our local library. I'm going to see if they'd like to have Buckeye Chuck living there, running around biting people and pooping on their floor. to get into that, by the way, to get into that inner city or inner circle, to be a groundhog aficionado, you have to be nominated by a sitting member of that group. So it's kind of sounds a little snooty to me. I keep trying to find what his name is. He has a really fancy name. I'll get to that eventually, I'm sure. We only have a couple more minutes, or one more minute, until we're going to take a break. So let me shoot the last couple of things. Students at Punxsutawney Area High School, they are called the Chucks, by the way, have no school on Groundhog Day because the school buses are used to transport the thousands of people that go and see Gobbler Knob and Punxsutawney Phil. Anyway... we don't have all that stuff. We make our kids go to school. Now, this year's a little different, and so is, I'm sure so is Punxsutawney Phil and Buckeye Chuck's celebration. So we'll be right back. Take care.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Everson. I'll be on 10 till 12 today. And welcome your phone calls. Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to